little bit let down. I had several comebacks ready for however Harold was going to embarrass me this time, but he didn't. So we can't thank y'all enough for all your hospitality and all the labor behind the scenes. And we're thankful for your friendship, for you here at Lee Creek, and all that you've done for us and for the work there in Lawton and other friends here as well. We praise God for you. Please turn with me to the 88th Psalm. Psalm 88. A song, a psalm of the sons of Korah to the choir master, according to Mahalath Leonath, a maskil of Heman the Ezrite. O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm a man who has no strength, like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they're cut off from your hand. You've put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves, Selah. You've caused my companions to shun me. You've made me a horror to them. I'm shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up to praise you? Selah. Is your steadfast love declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness? Or your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all the day long. They close in on me together. You've caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My companions have become darkness. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we hallow and worship your holy name. We thank you for the truth you've already given to us in the preached word. We pray now by the mediatorial role of Christ, our great prophet and priest and king, and by the help of your Spirit, that you'd make this truth of your word effectual to the help of your people this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Dear people of God, this psalm that we have read, it contains the words of a man that's in distress. Darkness is the theme of this psalm. We could ask as we read it, why the imagery of darkness? Why is this the main theme of this psalm, darkness? Well, darkness enhances misery. When everything goes dark, you can quickly become disoriented. The least noise can be confusing or even terrifying. You can have pain intensified during those hours of darkness. And even a simple shadow looks ominous in the dark. I remember my grandpa showing me a place on Green River Road where I grew up there in North Carolina. And it was an abandoned house. And he said as a boy, he was scared to death to walk by that house at night. They would walk by there during the day, no problem. And it would even be a beautiful scene. But at night, they were terrified. He said the hair on your neck would stand up when you walked by that property at night. Something about the dark enhances the ominous nature of fear. So, why this theme in this psalm? We can relate to the concept of darkness. You know how you hear on the news stories of miners where there's been an explosion underground and they're trapped underground in the dark with no way to escape? You can immediately sympathize with them to some degree because you know what it is to be afraid alone in the dark. There was a story like this a couple of years ago. Some of you may have heard it, about a man named John Waddell, a man in his 60s in Arizona. He was out in a remote mountain region exploring a gold mine. He was descending down into the mine using a rope, and his rope equipment malfunctioned. He began to free fall down that 100-foot mine shaft from about the 50-foot mark. He fell all the way down, and he tried to grab onto the rope. It peeled the skin off his hands. He hit at the bottom and shattered his leg and broke it. When he became conscious, he was able to put a tourniquet around his leg to stop the bleeding. Three different rattlesnakes crawled up to him. He killed them with a stick. He could hear other rattlesnakes around him in the dark, rattling. There he was in the dark, 100 feet down in that mine, screaming out, crying out. And he said that he felt that he may not make it out alive. He almost lost all hope. He said in that news report, "Night came and went. I tried to keep it together. On the third day, I thought I was going to die. A lot of things were going through my head, and if I stayed down there, I knew I was going to die. During the whole duration, I'm yelling and screaming, trying to get attention. You get to the point, you give up. You don't know what else to do." That was his testimony. What would that be like? Imagine if you were down that mine shaft in the middle of nowhere, nobody around to hear you scream. You're crying out, "Help!" You keep crying out. Nobody answers. There's nobody to hear you. You're there alone in the dark. Well, that's exactly the condition that Haman found himself in spiritually. Alone in the dark, crying out to God. Verse 6, he cries out, "You've put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep." Verse 15, "I suffer your terrors. I am helpless." This is a dark psalm. In one translation, the psalm ends with these words, "Darkness is my only friend. Darkness is my only friend." This is not just a dark psalm. This is the darkest psalm of the entire Psalter out of the 150 psalms. This is a psalm of lament. It's like we have different genres of music, and they're very different, have very different emphases. Country music has a very different emphasis than jazz or rock. There are different genres of psalms. This is a lament psalm. Now, other lament psalms start on a low like this, but they end high, as the psalmist is either experiencing deliverance by God's grace, or he's expressing confidence, "God, I know you're going to deliver me." So it starts low and ends high, typically. But this psalm starts low and ends lower. So if this is the case, why should we study this psalm? Somebody may ask, should we even study this psalm? Psalm 88's that dark. If it starts low and ends lower, how could it possibly be of any help to God's people? Why should we read it? Why should we preach it? Why should we sing it? Well, there are several reasons we must study Psalm 88. The psalm's superscription requires us to study it. And when we read the superscriptions of the psalms, not all of them have them, but when they do, this is part of the inspired text. We know this because of the way that Christ and the apostles use the superscriptions in the New Testament. They count them as part of the inspired text and incorporate them into their arguments when they're arguing for certain truths. So we need to pay attention to what the superscription says. It says a song. This dark psalm is a song. It's meant by God to be sung by God's people. It's called here a psalm, a certain kind of song that is to give praise to God. You remember when Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 5 that part of our duty to each other as Christians is to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? This is one of those psalms. The superscription tells us that this psalm is a maskil. As far as we know, maskil means wisdom or instruction. This is wisdom literature, like Proverbs. We're familiar with that. God has something to teach us here. He's given us this psalm for our instruction. Not only that, but the nature of Holy Scripture requires us to study this psalm. Remember how Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3 that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Psalm 88 is part of that all Scripture that is inspired of God and is useful and profitable to His church. Think about this. When you read the 150 Psalms of the book of Psalms, of the different genres of Psalm, this genre of lament is the largest by far of all the genres. When God the Holy Spirit breathed out these 150 Psalms, He breathed out more lament Psalms than Psalms focused on thanksgiving or praise to God. The Holy Spirit who inspired bright and beautiful Psalms like Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," is the same Holy Spirit who inspired dark and sorrowful Psalms like Psalm 88, and we need it just as much as we need Psalm 23. So as we approach this dark Psalm, remember that it is holy, inspired Scripture breathed out by God the Holy Spirit. Another reason we must study this Psalm is the nature of the Christian life requires us to study it. Though some more than others, all of God's people suffer afflictions in this life. And we need to be reminded that the normal Christian experience involves great difficulty. Like Haman, at times you may feel like, not that you're living the dream, but that you're living a nightmare. This can go on for extended times. So many Christians today have missed this truth, and we have been so warped and conditioned to expect that the Christian life will be one of almost unceasing joy with occasional periods of difficulty, and often it's the exact opposite. Some of our songs haven't helped with this. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Clap your hands, Haman. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. You would hear no hand clap from Haman when he penned this psalm. You would be answered with deafening silence. He was not happy. He is sorrowing, lamenting, crying out to God in desperation. He cannot sense and feel the comfort of God's presence. I love most of the message of the song, and if taken rightly, this line is good too, but when you lay down your burdens at the cross, not necessarily will you be happy all the day. Now I'm happy all the day, the songwriter says. Yes, we experience great joy in the Lord, but Haman wasn't happy all the time, and neither will we be as God's people. God allows us to suffer this kind of distress at times, and some far more than others. Dear pastors, we know, I'm sure we've heard pastors get up the pulpit and say, "Hey, some of you look sad here today. You need to turn that frown upside down. You look like an old Missouri mule that's been eating sawbriars all week. You're in the presence of the Lord. Get a smile on your face." That guy ought to be slapped right across the face. It's ungodly to treat God's sheep like that. God's people struggle. Some of them struggle all the time at a deeper level than others, like Haman. This psalm helps us to reminds us how to minister to them. It helps us go deeper than our own experience. Some of the people we pastor have suffered 10 times worse than we ever have or ever will. And this psalm helps deepen our ability to minister to them, though we haven't experienced the same thing. Somebody says, "Well, I know Haman was struggling there, but we don't live under the old covenant like Haman. We're new covenant believers." Well, I think Apostle Paul would beg to differ with the mentality that we don't have the kind of struggles Old Testament believers had. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:8 about his ministry in Asia, "We were so utterly burdened beyond our strength," or pressed, pressed out of measure that we despaired of life itself. Apostle Paul, the minister of the new covenant, said that he almost lost hope to even keep on living. We almost despaired of life itself. Throughout church history, some of the saints of God that God has most mightily used were men that struggled with deep and ongoing depression. Martin Luther struggled so badly with depression that one time his wife Katie put on a black funeral dress and a black veil and went down into the basement where he'd been in the dark weeping and mourning. And he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, you're acting like it's God's died and this is his funeral, so I guess I'm going to join with you." That's how bad he struggled with depression. Spurgeon struggled with deep and ongoing depression. God's people should expect afflictions in this life. As a Christian today, you may be engulfed in darkness. You may be crying out to God in distress like Heman. Maybe you're not. But you know a Heman. You know somebody engulfed in darkness. This psalm will help you know better how to minister to them. And if you're not in darkness now, you may come to a day when you are engulfed in darkness. God has put this 88th psalm here to help you through it. The final reason we must study this psalm is that the passion of Christ requires us to study it. Far more than anyone else, the darkness of Psalm 88 was the experience of Christ on the cross. And if we can look through the lens of this psalm, we'll catch a better glimpse of the sufferings of Christ. So with this in mind, I want to preach on the theme, crying to God from the horror of darkness. Crying to God from the horror of darkness. First of all, these are cries from a man engulfed in darkness. Engulfed in darkness. This is where Heman found himself. In the big picture, beyond Heman, the entire nation of Israel found themselves engulfed in darkness. Back up and get the big picture. When these psalms were set in the context that they're set, they're not a random collection of 150 poems. There is a flow to the psalms. They're five miniature books, and within those books are specific groupings of psalms for specific themes. And during this time that this psalm is placed, it's in book three of the five books, and the theme of this section is devastation. O. Palmer Robertson coined that title for book three, and I fully agree. The theme is devastation. It describes the period 300 or 400 years after King David's rule. No longer does Israel have a strong king like David or his son Solomon. Foreign enemies have invaded. They have taken the people of God away to Babylon. They have vandalized and destroyed God's temple. And for the Jewish people, it seems all hope is lost. They're living in a foreign land under Babylonian captivity. And as we come to the two final psalms of this book three, Psalms 88 and 89, they're both cries of distress. Psalm 88 is an individual cry of distress from Heman. Psalm 89 is a corporate, national cry of distress. The people of God don't know what to do. They're crying out to God, and God hasn't answered. Their faith is in crisis. The future looks nothing but bleak. So that's the big picture. Now we zoom back in on Heman. What is he crying out to God? If we could summarize his own words, he would say, engulfed in darkness, I'm dying. I'm dying. I'm facing death with all the fears of it. Verses 3 through 6, listen to the language. For my soul is full of troubles and my life draws near to Sheol. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm a man who has no strength, like those set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they're cut off from your hand. You've put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. He's facing death, and it's not a pleasant experience. It's as if death is standing over him like a towering grim reaper, and he can feel death's icy breath on his face. Feels like he's sinking down into the depths of an unmarked grave with a mass of other corpses, and soon he'll be dead and all memory of him will be forgotten. That's the language here. He's crying out, engulfed in darkness, I'm abandoned, all alone in the dark. Like John Waddell down that 100-foot mine shaft, there he is, all alone. I'm abandoned by friends and family, he cries, verses 8 and 18. You have caused my companions to shun me. You've made me a horror to them. I'm shut in so that I cannot escape. Verse 18, you have caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. My commandment, my companions have become darkness. Not only that, he's abandoned, he feels, by God. He's crying, I'm abandoned by God. Verses 9 and 13 and 14, he cries, every day I call upon you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. He's crying and crying to God like a little child with his hands up, asking his parent to get him, and there's no response. Verses 13 and 14, but I, O Lord, cry to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? I'm abandoned by God, he feels. All of Haman's friends and family have forsaken him. Worse than that, he feels that God, whom he calls the God of his salvation, has forsaken him and abandoned him. Haman is crying here, engulfed in darkness. I'm not only abandoned by God, I'm afflicted by God. God, I feel that it's not just that you're allowing these things to happen to me and standing far off. I feel like you're launching a full-out frontal assault against me. God, I feel that you're viciously attacking me. Verses 6 to 8, you, listen at the language here, as he prays to the Lord, you have put me in the depths of the pit and the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves, Selah. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a horror to them. Verses 14 to 16, O Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I'm helpless. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. He knows God is sovereign. And he knows that God is sovereignly afflicting him. And he feels as if he's under attack from the God of his salvation. Not only that, he's crying, God, you've turned everyone else against me. Not only does it seem you're coming against me, you've turned everybody else against me. Verses 8 and 18, you, Lord, the God of my salvation, have caused my companions to shun me, made me a horror to them. You've caused my beloved and my friend to shun me. Verse 18, my companions have become darkness. He acknowledges it's God that is doing this. So Haman is saying, I know God is sovereign. I know God is in full control of all things. But God's sovereignty, far from comforting me, actually sharpens my pain. I feel he's actually coming against me. Job struggled with this. When you study the book of Job, there are times he is worshiping God for God's sovereignty, but it's not in a way to say this soothes me. It's in a way to say this torments me. I know God is the one who has orchestrated this horrible affliction. And he's right. And yes, as Spurgeon said, the sovereignty of God is the pillow where I lay my head at night. It is a comfort to God's people. But there are sometimes, it's scary. It's terrifying to think. We don't understand God's sovereign ways. God could have changed this. He could have made it turn out different, and he hasn't. And I cannot understand why. He's crying, engulfed in darkness. I am disoriented. I'm disoriented. I'm bewildered at God's ways. I cannot understand God's purposes. God, I'm confused. I can't see how you're going to get any glory out of this. Verses 10 through 12. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise to praise you, Selah? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness or your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? God, I'm confused. I can't understand why you're treating me this way. Verse 14, oh Lord, why do you cast my soul away? Why do you hide your face from me? Heman is saying, I cannot understand why God's putting me through this. I do not see what good could possibly come of it. You ever feel that way, dear believer? You ever struggle with thoughts like that? Heman did. And God recorded these thoughts for us in this inspired song. We would never be so bold as to pray this way. But God puts this prayer in our mouth in this inspired psalm. He's crying, engulfed in darkness, I'm trapped. Verse 8, I'm shut in so that I cannot escape. Verses 16 to 17, your wrath has swept over me, your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all the day long. They close in on me altogether. For Heman, this horror of darkness is no temporary event. Heman is trapped in it. For him, affliction is a lifelong experience. He says in verse 15, afflicted and close to death from my youth up. I suffer your terrors, I am helpless. This has been going on throughout his life. Heman is saying, this is my life. His suffering is solidified, it's set up like concrete. There's no sign of escape, there's no sign of change for the better. That's how the psalm ends. What a dark scene. We've heard the desperate cries of a man engulfed in darkness praying to God, but God is not answering. Is there any hope? Is there any light at the end of this dark tunnel? We know, yes, there is hope for God's people, even the darkest of afflictions. There's hope for Heman because God has worked in Heman's heart in saving grace. God has regenerated him by the power of His Holy Spirit who is breathing out this psalm. Heman is a believer. He's had true faith, which is the gift of God. He's believed on Christ who is to come and received Christ in types and shadows and prophecies of Him. And though he is struggling hard with doubts and fears, he is struggling as a believer, not as an unbeliever. He's crying out to God in faith. These are not just prayers of a man engulfed in the horror of darkness, but they're prayers from the horror of darkness from a man of faith. Hear what God says about Heman. We don't know much about him, but the few times Scripture mentions him, two of these are in 1 Kings 4 and 1 Chronicles 25. Scripture tells us that he was a leader in the temple worship. He superintended the instrumental music. And it tells us he was a prophet. And it commends him for his wisdom. His name, Heman's name itself, means faithful. You remember faithful in the Pilgrim's Progress? This is faithful. This is his name translated literally. God, by his grace, is causing Heman to persevere faithfully through grueling circumstances. Yes, Heman is despairing and distressing, but he is not giving up. He's not turned away from God. He's turning to God. He keeps turning to God. He keeps crying to God. So this is a prayer of faith. You know, some people today, some Christians today would call Heman an Eeyore. Oh, you're just down and out. You're an old Eeyore. God calls him Mr. Faithful. Dear Christian, you can experience true faith and deep depression at the same time. Be encouraged. Great piety may flourish alongside great alarm and fear and depression and struggle. As William Plummer said, there is no better evidence of piety than that given by him who fears God and obeys his voice while he walks in darkness and has no light. Haman as he laments is still looking to God in faith. Hear what he says about God. From the depths of darkness, Haman gives confession of faith in God. Verse 1, O Lord, God of my salvation. He calls God the God of my salvation. He's believing God to bring about a deliverance he cannot yet see. That's faith. Confessing God to be who he says he is when you can't see how God is the God of your salvation. You believe it by faith. That's what he's doing. Throughout this psalm, he calls God Lord, Yahweh, the covenant Lord, the I am, the faithful covenant-keeping God of Israel. That's how he addresses God. He's not turned and cursed God like Job's wife tried to get him to do in his afflictions. He's honoring God. He's not joining the blasphemers of Revelation 16, who when God afflicts them with the plagues, they blaspheme and curse the God of heaven. No, he is crying out to God in faith, looking to God. Yes, he's lamenting, but he's lamenting to God. Yes, he's complaining, but he's complaining to God in faith. What faith that in the midst of this kind of darkness, when Haman can't see God's hand of grace, he keeps calling on God. He keeps crying out to God night and day, even though God hasn't answered. That's true faith. This is not the natural reaction of fallen mankind. If you want to see that, look there at Revelation 16 where they blaspheme the God of heaven as they experience God's afflictions. That's the reaction of the natural man. This is not natural. This is a supernatural work of God's grace in Haman's heart. And dear believer, when you're in this condition and you keep looking to God, even though you can't see or feel any hope at the time, you're giving glory to God. And you're acting in true faith, as Haman was. Take supernatural grace for somebody to pray like Haman prayed in the midst of this. Not only what he confesses and says of God, but look what he expects of God as he prays, Lord, God of my salvation. He is expecting God to save him. He's expecting God to deliver him. Now, God in his infinite wisdom and goodness, dear Christian, has ordained that some of his children suffer worse than others. You all know somebody that you've seen go through one suffering to the next, brokenness and horror and pain and difficulty and wrongdoing, all that you can imagine in life. The worst things you would never want to happen to you bundled into one. You know believers like this. This was Haman's experience. Some of God's beloved people spend much of their earthly lives engulfed in this kind of darkness that Haman experienced. What are you to do if you're to find yourself in this condition one day so that it seems that suffering is more common than relief? Well, to those today who are engulfed in darkness, if you're a Haman, if you feel like you're in this condition, this psalm is here to help you personally. If you struggle like this, you are not the only one, and God had it pinned down to remind you you're not the only one. It doesn't make you less of a Christian or less faithful. Haman was a leader in God's temple. He was a prophet marked for his wisdom. He struggled hard. The Holy Spirit inspired him to write this psalm. You're not the only believer that struggles the way you do. Not only is this psalm here to help you, but it's here to help you to help others. If you are a Haman, or if you've had this experience before, God might have put you through it so you can minister to somebody that is sailing these dark waters. Maybe you're not a Haman. Maybe you haven't experienced much affliction in this life. But you know a Haman. You know a believer that seems to barely keep their head above the waters of affliction. Dear believers, how we must beware of ever giving glib advice or having a lighthearted attitude towards those that are suffering? How dare we snap our fingers and demand that they jump up and get over it and go on and sing happy, happy, joy, joy. Let us learn to mourn with our Christian brothers and sisters that mourn. Let us learn to weep with them that weep, to hurt with them who are hurting, to speak a choice word in due season to encourage them, and to know when to just be quiet and not say anything at all and just be there with them through it. Let us get a sense of the depth of the darkness of how some of God's people suffer. Let us learn from it and use it for God's glory in Christ's church. But this psalm is not just a cry from a man of faith engulfed in darkness, and a man crying to God from the darkness. This is a cry fulfilled in Christ. It's a cry fulfilled in Christ. Verse 18 is the end of Psalm 88, but it's not the end for Heman. All of Holy Scripture, including this psalm, finds its end in Christ who fulfills it all. You remember John Waddell down that 100-foot mine shaft screaming, crying out for help in the dark, no one to hear him. Well, the story didn't end there. He said on that third day, as he was becoming dehydrated, disoriented, all of a sudden he heard of a familiar voice of his friend Terry yelling out his name from above ground. Help had come. The rescuers came and pulled him up out of that mine shaft, and he survived to tell about it. That wasn't the end of his story, being trapped alone in darkness. Well, Psalm 88 is not the end of Heman's story. Christ has come to save all of God's elect, and none of them will be left in darkness forever. You've heard this psalmist crying out from the dark. But listen, and deeper than the cry of the psalmist Heman, from a deeper depth of darkness than Heman ever plunged, you can hear the cry of Christ who carried all of Heman's sins and ours there to the cross. Was Heman engulfed in darkness, and are you? Far more so Christ. As he hangs on the cross at noonday and the sky goes dark in the middle of the day, did Heman face death? And to you, much more Christ faces death. As he tastes death for every man, there he goes, stumbling, bleeding, staggering down under the crushing load of the cross, pressing onward into the jaws of death, goes our Savior. Did Heman feel abandoned? And to you, far more so Christ, who didn't just feel abandoned by his Father. He actually was abandoned and forsaken of his Father for our sins, as Christ cries out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? You feel abandoned by family and friends. So did Christ much more as his dearest disciples forsook him and fled in his dying hour. Was Heman afflicted by God, and are you? Well, to an infinitely greater degree, Christ was afflicted by God. It pleased the Lord to crush him. And there at the cross, hanged our Lord Jesus, receiving not the fatherly love of discipline, not the fatherly discipline of God's love, but receiving the unbounded wrath and judgment of God due to guilty sinners that we deserve. We've tasted God's loving, chastening rod, but we've never tasted one drop of the wrath of God. Christ drank it all down there at the cross for us. Was Heman disoriented, struggling to understand God's purposes? Do you find yourself bewildered and not understanding God's purposes? Well, far more so, Christ, in his humanity, as he was truly man, and as truly man, in his humanity, he had all the limitations of mankind. As to his deity, he is truly God, but as his humanity, he is truly man. And in his humanity, Christ cries out at the cross, not being able to fully grasp the depths of his own suffering, crying to God, why have you forsaken me? Why? As he, the innocent, suffers on behalf of guilty sinners. Was Heman trapped, and are you? Far more so, Christ is trapped and overwhelmed at the cross. Yes, waves of sorrow swept over him, and he said, but far more so, like mighty tidal waves of a stormy sea, the terrors of God's wrath sweep over and sweep over our Lord Jesus Christ and all come crashing down on him. Like Jonah being cast into the churning sea and the storm was calmed, Christ is cast into the churning torrent of the wrath of God so that God's justice may be satisfied for us. Death swallows him down. There he goes, sealed into the tomb, entrapped, no way to escape, until the third day when he gloriously rises again and his humiliation is finished forever. And all this Christ did for us, experienced for us to make us sons of light. Christ takes us from the kingdom of darkness to light. We who were dark-minded, doing dark deeds, who Paul said were ourselves darkness. We deserve the sentence of outer darkness for eternity, but there Christ went to the cross and descends into the darkness to make us children of light. This psalm is fulfilled in Christ. And when you find yourself in the midst of this psalm in your experience, look to Jesus Christ. You'll never suffer what he suffered, nowhere even close. He's there with you in the darkness. He's been through it before. Look to Jesus. Think of the darkness he faced at the cross. Today, dear saints, be filled with deep gratitude to him who endured more sorrow than you could ever comprehend. And he did this to save you. Because Christ has died and risen again, when you're in the dark crying out like Haman, God is with you. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, even when it doesn't seem like God's with you. He is, and he's promised to never leave you. Worship and be thankful. Give praise to God for this great salvation purchased at such an expensive price. Be overwhelmed with amazement at the man Christ Jesus. See, he's become incarnate. He's come down from the lofty heights of heaven and descended into the depths of dark death for you so that you'll never have to face death alone. And by the power of his resurrection, it's as if he's ripped the reaping sickle right out of the grim reaper's hand. And you can hear the victory cry of Christ, our mighty Savior. O grave, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The psalm is fulfilled in Christ. Dear sinner here today, don't you see you're sinking down into the depths of darkness? You deserve outer darkness because of your sins, and you're on your way there. Christ comes to save you and make you a child of light. Look to him and be saved. Now, dear people of God, let us give glory to our triune God, whose glory is revealed in this psalm, along with all of Scripture. Glory to the Father, our Lord and the God of our salvation. Glory to the Son, who in order to save us, descended in the darkness of death, by his death defeating death. Glory to the Holy Spirit, who preserves God's elect, even through the darkest afflictions. Amen.